Jackson, and this is Alan. This is Alan Steinfeld. Each week on this program, I explore the evolution of consciousness, where we are going to as a planetary civilization, as beings that are becoming more aware of our true nature. And I think some of the best people to talk about are those that have had experiences with their essence, with that divine, eternal part of themselves. And tonight's guest is Melon Thomas Benedict, returning to the show after an incredible interview we did a few months ago. And we got lots of visitors on the website. And I just wanted to follow up and also tell people Melon Thomas will be coming to New York in about 2 weeks on March 27th, 28th, and 31st. He'll be speaking in New York. It'll be on my website, newrealities.com. But Melon, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Alan.
Okay, yeah. I could go. I'll go at the end of the show into a little more detail about where you're going to be in New York, but just for people to know that, well, it's up on your website, too. What is your website?
My website's Melon. -thomas.com. That's MELLEN-thomas.com.
Okay, so let's sort of, we can recap a little bit, but we don't have to go into the whole near-death experience that you had because you did it so well the first time you were on the program. I do want to get in, so you basically you had a near-death experience. You were dead, clinically dead for 2 hours. You went to the light as a non-believer. And the light sent you back. Is that sort of of course, there's a lot more involved.
In a nutshell.
but the part, I know, but the part that is interesting is that you say you go to the light all the time, every day, and you bring back information. So what exactly, they go to the light, but I was not aware that was available for everyone all the time to go to. Can you talk about what you mean and how you bring back the information you do bring back?
Sure. For the first 2 years after my near-death experience in 1982, I would have episodes. This is how it began. I would have episodes of almost feeling like the light was taking me out of my body, and it was kind of scary because you leave your body, you think you're going to die again, you know. But every time the light sort of called me, and I'd be with the light and have these great conversations, I would always ask the light, what can I bring back? Is there anything I can bring back? And over that two-year period of these visitations with the light, I became more and more comfortable with it and knew I wasn't going to die. And that began my relationship with the light of what I call a practical application of higher consciousness. In other words, I wasn't that interested in philosophy or religion. I was more interested in science and things like that. And I would have these great conversations with the light, and I would ask questions, and they would be answered. And I, was bringing back this all this information that scientists thought were very interesting. Once I met PMH Atwater, and she introduced me to Dr. Ken Ring, the scientists kind of became very interested in me. And that began, that relationship with the light began a full-time career for me since the near-death experience as a full-time inventor, and that's what I really do now. And I have, I've worked on many types of projects, think tanks, and over the years have developed patents and products for various companies. So for me, going to the light is, I try to tell people, because they say, can you teach it? And my feeling about it is that everybody can do this naturally. You don't even have to die to do it. But most people don't believe they can do it. And in fact, when most people are doing it, they don't believe they're doing it. They think they've imagined it. And so they have to get over that part of it. And
so for what it is that you do, but I know you have more to say. Sorry, I just want to get clarified. When is the light though something separate from you? My understanding is the light is us, is you, all of us in our sort of higher, more evolved form. the way you're talking about it seems like it's separate from you. So what is the light?
No, the light is not separate. We're all in one continuum. It's just that you change vibration or consciousness. You don't really have to go anywhere physically or spiritually to access that light. For me, my understanding of the light is that it's our oversoul matrix for this planet, and we all go to that light and are born through it again, and it's sort of the matrix of all experience on this planet, precisely. You know, there are many other planets, many other consciousnesses, and they have their matrixes also, but so you don't have to go anywhere.
When you say you go there as an individualized consciousness, as a personality self. Is that?
I merge with the light.
But you're still this human personality.
Sure, and I haven't given that up yet, or probably won't for many, many incarnations. So I'm able to have these conversations with the wiser part of myself. I quite often call the light our greater self. It's the great self.
Mm. So it is ourselves. So I thought many people think as well that you merge with the light. You die, you merge with the light, and you're saying there's a sort of separate entity self that remains whether you're in the body or not.
As the light has explained to me, that if you're in a human body right now on planet Earth, you evolve through every step of evolution this planet has known since it was formed. And by the time that you reach, go through evolution and reach the stage of human beings, you are beginning to form what's called a discrete consciousness. It's like we're all part of a radio, but we all are the different channels on the radio. Animals don't have that, plants don't have it, microbes don't have it, because a good example of that is by the time you get to the human level, one of the things we love to do is name everything. We've got a name for everything, including ourselves, individual names, and so that's what I call a discrete frequency, an individual type of consciousness. It's like and all the signals in our atmosphere, the radio can bring in, and all you have to do is shift the channels, and you'll find Mellon or you'll find Alan. We're all a part of this frequency matrix, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. So, but that's part of the illusion. I mean, so you're saying the individualized consciousness was started as like mineral, worked its way up through animal, vegetable, animal, starting to individuate consciousness until we get to the incarnational human beings that collects lifetime after lifetime of experience.
Well, plants and animals do that too, but we do it in a discrete way. It's a further evolution of the same thing.
Mm-hmm. All right. I mean, I'm sure we can talk for hours on the subtleties of this. I mean, because it's so abstract in a way. But I'm interested in actually how you can teach people to get to the light, and then also the intense, amazing technologies you're bringing back to people on the planet. So first, tell us then, how would you teach someone to convert? I mean, you said you were pulled out, sort of, but how would you teach this?
Well, I like to clarify that I've never said I could teach anybody. When people ask me if I can teach them, I believe it's something that can't be taught, but it can be learned. And I try to tell people that it's your intellectual part of you that kind of blocks you from all this. Going to the light is more like music. It's not. It's more like art. It's not like a scientific experiment, the actual mechanisms of it. And so there are probably a million ways to get in contact with that oversoul. Kahuna's had good methods. There are so many good methods that all work just as well. I developed a natural relationship with the light in the way that I do it. And all I have to do, all I have to do is get to a certain place in my mind, a trigger that I've developed, and I'm there. And I've done this in double-blind studies and think tanks and research projects. And I can go to a certain state of mind, and for me it's a certain feeling. It's not intellectual, it's a certain feeling. It's that feeling I got when I was on the other side about life itself being, if people really understood how magnificent being alive is, no matter what state you're in and what opportunities and potential that has, it's a euphoric feeling in a way. When you really get it, when you really get what life is about, you really cherish it. It's an amazing awareness to have. And I go back and connect with that feeling, and I can be with the light that quickly.
Wait, but you're saying two things. You're saying it's an amazing feeling to be alive, and you're saying it's an amazing feeling to be out of your body. I'm just a little confused. So it is an amazing feeling to be in the body, but when you go to the light, you're not really in your body. Are you?
Well, I think we're splitting hairs to infinity here.
Okay, okay. I'm just trying to get.
I can only tell you what I experience, you know, okay. And you either, you know, I can't be infinitely intellectual about it because I'm not that to begin with.
Okay, no, sorry. Yeah. I just wanted. Yeah. Okay.
So for me, it's more like music. It's more like art, and it's not an intellectual process at all. It's a feeling I get that connects me.
And it's very simple, but it's a meditation, right?
Oh, you could put words on it. Some people have called it a form of self-hypnosis even. That's fine, too. The kahunas have techniques that really pretty much do the same thing. And, it's really quite an easy thing to do. There's a course called the Silva Method, you know, formerly Silva Mind Control, that I think is excellent. If people want to learn to do this in 2 days, they can do it. You know, it's a fantastic course to take. What I've done with mine, though, is you can have connection to higher sources of spirit or knowledge, but it's what you do with it. You know, it's like playing piano for me. You can almost anybody can play the piano, but you can be given a piano, but it's what you do with the piano. And I have spent enough time to become a concert pianist with what I do with the light. Other people just want to play chopsticks and play around at it or get bored with it. Truly, people do. I meet a lot of people that don't have the patience to do it. You know, if it's not instant gratification or they can't do it instantly, that they lose interest and move on to other things. So it's like that. It's like I've put enough time in it to become a concert pianist with what I do, and I can prove it. You know, a lot of people say, well, how do you know you're, talking to the source? Well, that's why I developed my relationship with the light, of bringing back practical information that can be patented, tested, and built. And that's how I prove it. And many times in my workshops and stuff, I encourage people to test their sources. Whatever source you're channeling, test them for something practical that can be manifested besides philosophy, and that would give you more confidence to know that you're really connecting with something that gives you very accurate information. Because let's face it, philosophy is philosophy. Is it very accurate? Usually not.
Have people hooked you up to like brainwave scanners when you go and see if there's a different part of your brain that's being used?
Yeah, I used to love to be up until about 1995. I was a favorite guinea pig in many research projects, and really enjoyed it up to that point. And I've had those kinds of things done. I once had a great brain test where you speak through this very high quality microphone into this supercomputer, and it analyzes your voice and then plays it backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And and you'd be surprised. I watched many people speak into this mic. The signals were analyzed, and it was played backwards, and you could see what they were really saying, what their subconscious was saying. It was fascinating. So when they tested me, mm-hmm. and they played it backwards, I was saying the same thing I said forwards, and they said, whoa, what's that?
But what did they find in the brain physiology? What parts of your brain were you using when you went to the light? Were they able to see that?
Well, these parts of the brains light up. There's nothing special about that at all. There's no special part of the brain, as far as I know. It's like having memories. It's like sometimes they, you know, it's. I don't think there's any special region of the brain that does that. Although many scientists believe it's the frontal lobes where a lot of this mystic qualities of human beings reside. And I tend to agree with them on that. If you want to get specific, you know, parts of the brain.
No, I was just interested. But the big thing I think we should talk about is, of course, what it is that you get when you're in the light, the technologies and the inventions and the creative ideas that you come back with that are helping the planet evolve. So I think that's really important. So,
well, I say I was gifted with the gift of invention, and it's something that I never want to turn off. So I literally keep this flow going all the time as far as being open to information and being open to ideas. And so literally I've been tested. I can invent on command, just give me a subject. And every day I invent several inventions. I don't expect that most of the inventions I come up with in this life will actually be manufactured, but I really enjoy the flow. I really enjoy the process, and I never want to turn it off. And so I fill up notebooks every week full of great ideas, and who knows? You know, some of them actually get out into the world.
Well, what kind of stuff? I mean, what's the most far out thing you've at least written down in your notebook that maybe hasn't been actualized? But
it's hard to say. I'm a very eclectic. I've invented everything from shoes to toys to medical devices to forms of astronomy, like gravitational field astronomy. I was one of the early people to be working on that, navigating the universe with using magnetic fields and things like that. So I've worked on some very exotic projects, you know, scalar and all those kind of things. But in the end, what you do pick to then patent and build have to be very practical things, or no one's going to give you the money to do it. So in a way, invention has kept me very grounded, because as an inventor, you have to know everything about that invention. You have to know every screw, every bolt, every resistor, everything about it. So it's really kept me quite grounded, really.
So what was it that you did invent? What are some of the practical things that are now on the market or available that people can use and buy, and their purpose?
I've invented tools and shoes and all sorts of things like that, but the main thing I've invented continuously since my near-death experience, because it was the most important thing I found that I was interested in, is products dealing with the field of phototherapy or quantum biology. And that I've spent some 25 years working with different corporations, doing research, being part of clinicals. And that has led me to be able to design and build very, very practical uses of phototherapy, advanced phototherapy, phototherapy has a good number of uses, from wound healing to anti-aging to pain relief to stimulating the entire body to go into regeneration. In fact, I was one of the first people documented to do research on full systemic regeneration of the human body, and it is possible. It's amazingly possible, and that's what I spend a lot of my time working on and developing products. And we have some products out now right on the market that people can check out for themselves.
Well, tell people about which ones they can check out. I mean, maybe they will.
I have developed, over the last 25 years, I've developed some very high-end phototherapy technologies for corporations. There was a unit that cost $100,000. A recent unit cost $20,000 a piece. And then I've always wanted to, if you really understand the best use of phototherapy and regeneration, it's something that you should use every day. But the corporations I've worked for in the past were only interested in high-end units that would sell to high-end spas or medical companies. And But the best use of this type of technology is if you could have a system at home where you could use it every day and start regenerating more than you're degenerating. And so it was about a year and a half ago that I decided not to work for corporations anymore and helped co-found a company in Chicago called Light Health Research. And with that company, I was able for the first time to bring out a consumer unit that can be used in home and office and carried around with you, and you can travel with it, that does everything I've ever wanted phototherapy to do, which is basically tremendous anti-aging effects. I mean, if you're just interested in anti-aging, you can look at your face in the mirror before you use this, do a half-hour session, and then look at your face, and it's already changed. And,
is
you know,
it the Dream Spa you're talking about?
Yeah, the Dream Spa. That particular product that we have out now is called the Dream Spa.
And where's the website to find these products?
The website is lighthealthresearch.com, and the product is called the Dream Spa.
Okay, well, but what was it that you discovered about the nature of light that other people hadn't discovered before? That's the regenerative property that you've incorporated in these machines.
Well, it's a fascinating history. Phototherapy. It's like no one actually invented light. You know, no one can patent light. But the importance of light and different wavelengths or colors of light have been known since ancient times. Although there was no science to it, it was just kind of a practical knowledge that people evolved over centuries.
Well,
what I was able to do, I actually had my near death experience at a very good time in history because I sort of came along at sort of the beginnings of modern scientific phototherapy when it really started coming on. And so there are basically about four wavelengths of light that are actually what we call bioactive that actually have a very positive effect on the human body. As it turns out, the light from the sun is really rude and crude energy. Most of the energy in the sun would just kill you or give you cancer if we weren't protected by our atmosphere. And science has been able to identify just the very specific wavelengths of sunlight and reproduce them first in lasers. When I first got involved in phototherapy, I had to invent lasers and things like that. And then the LED technology that we have today was infantile at the time and not very useful. But LED technology has come along to where we can really make affordable, very accurate devices now at a cost that's actually affordable. So the whole science has come along. I didn't invent LEDs, although I've invented types of LEDs. I didn't invent light, although I have I figured out things to do with light that people weren't thinking about. And so in the field that I'm in, light already existed. Science came along, and I was actually I actually got specific wavelengths and everything when I had my near-death experience, but it took me a few years to find anybody that understood what I was talking about because nobody I knew was a scientist. But once the scientists started looking at what I was doing, they went, you know, these are wavelengths, and then when they were tested, I'd hit it right on the money, and my information was very, very accurate, which encouraged people to then start building these technologies and testing them. And so my expertise in the field is actually what I call delivery systems. I have been able to combine these things and take them to a level that they have not been at for the public up to this time.
What are those four frequencies that are beneficial to the human body that you tap into?
Well, they're pretty specific wavelengths of blue light and specific wavelengths of red light, which is the number one regeneration wavelength, and it's what you do with those wavelengths. And then the other one is the near-infrared, which you can't see with the human eye, but it is one of the most powerful wavelengths for, if used properly, for the healing and deep regeneration of the human body. And then you could throw in yellow. Yellow is a very superficial wavelength. It's good for skin and wrinkles and things like that. But those are the four main bioactive wavelengths, because in the science of phototherapy and tissue optics, which is what I'm in, is the actual science of tissue optics is about what these wavelengths specifically do to the tissues in your body. So this doesn't have any relationship whatsoever to chakras and chakra colors. It's completely different science.
No, I know that. Yeah. Chakras and chakra colors have no scientific basis to begin with. So was that discovery by Karl Popp about the biophotons, how the cell retains a light awareness. Do you know that? I'm sure you know that word.
Well, Fritz Popp was a great researcher who made some great discoveries. And that was, he came along at a very opportune time when we had sensitive enough equipment to actually look at photons. The analysis equipment and testing equipment that is around today is so marvelous. It's amazing. It'll test any subtle energy. But biophotons are the actual action of when your nuclear body, your atoms interact and your cells interact, and they actually give off a light, which is almost like a little bit of a laser. And your cells really actually communicate at the nuclear level with light waves, almost like a fiber optic communication.
What is the light wave frequency of the biophoton? I'm just wondering what that frequency is and how you interact with that, perhaps.
Well, it doesn't actually. It has a more infrared wavelength because it isn't visible to the human eyes, but you can image it with cameras like you've seen those night vision cameras where you can look at somebody in the dark and they're glowing in the dark.
Yeah, lots of UFOs are seen with those.
Yeah, and so with a biophotonic camera, it's even more sensitive, and you can actually see the interaction of this body, because this all generates heat, and heat is a form of light, and so it becomes easy to image.
I guess that's what Curlian photography was as well, seeing the light.
Well, Curlian I love Curlian, true Curlian photography, because it's a very cool science. But Curlian photography is really an electron camera. It's looking at the electron emissions coming off your body, and that can actually give you a lot of information about that body that's being tested. It's really quite a fascinating science.
So people, I've tried the Dream Spa. It was interesting. I think I have to do it it was a very short time, but they lay with their head in this pulsing light. It sort of looks like a hair dryer or something, in a way. Those big beauty parlor hair dryers. That's what I thought of when I saw it, but it felt good. And what exactly is happening as the machine's emitting these particular pulses of light? What's happening to the body? How is the body changing when it's receiving these frequencies? Like, what's happening on the cellular level, I guess I'm asking?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's very cool that specific wavelengths of light can cause very specific energetic, and we're talking, really testable energetic reactions in the human body. Certain wavelengths can change enzymatic action in your body. Certain wavelengths can, say if you're in pain, can be an antihistamine effect. Other wavelengths, because all light is basically photons, and photons are actually electrons. So your body, in fact, everything that we know is living. We haven't tested aliens yet, but I would imagine it's the same. But every living thing from bacteria to human beings literally lives on electrons, and that's called ATP, adenosine triphosphate, and that is the many people have heard of ATP because they call it the energy module or the battery that's in every cell of your body. That your every cell in your body has to have this little battery operating, or it couldn't do its own work. And so everything your body takes in, light, air, food that you eat, your body not only digests it for the mineral and vitamin content and all that, but at the end of the game, it's looking for how many electrons it can extract out of that to feed the battery of the body, because The living body is very similar to a wet cell battery, and it needs to keep its charge going. In fact, aging is really about losing the charge in your body, and the body then isn't regenerating itself like it did when you were young, because it takes energy to regenerate. It isn't magic. And so the older you get, the less charge you hold in your body, and the less you the digestion changes, and then you aren't getting the energy you used to get. And that's what aging really is. And so with phototherapy, especially the kind that we use, we're like a simple metaphor is we're a battery charger for the human body. This is light is considered a nutrient to the human body. It could almost be considered a vitamin.
But we're in light all the time. I mean, we're probably in an artificial light. Of course, people say fluorescents aren't good. There's sunlight. I mean, we're constantly being bathed, unless we're in the dark. But mostly all the time, we're in some sort of light that may be feeding us or may not be. Probably not, though, right? But it's doing something to us, I think, is what you're saying.
Well, very little of this sunlight actually penetrates our own body. A little bit of it does, because of the atmosphere and everything. But it's the light that we kind of have lived on up till now has really been the light that plants collect. Plants collect this light and turn it into energy, and then we eat the plants, or animals eat the plants, and we eat the animals that eat the plants. So we're actually eating for energy. Most of the light in a modern world is not good for us at all. In fact, it fatigues the immune system, and like fluorescent lighting, incandescent lighting. Most of the lighting we have in our hospitals, our offices, our schools, our homes, is a light that is of no nutrient value to the human body at all, and in fact can irritate the immune system.
So what do you suggest? I mean, besides your, what kind of light should people have in their house?
Well, this has been known since the 1960s. Dr. John Ott, O-T-T, Dr. John Ott was the pioneer of full-spectrum lighting and did magnificent experiments with GE lighting company and everything back in the 60s. He invented full-spectrum lighting, which more approaches a healthy version of sunlight. And so I've always encouraged people that in your home, in your office, you should buy full-spectrum bulbs to put in, because then you're going to get a light that's a healthy light. Also, full-spectrum lighting actually makes things easier to read and less stress on your eyes. So, and that's something easy to do. The Ott Light Company is still in business, and they make fantastic products for office and home, and they're only one of the many companies now that make this healthy full-spectrum lighting. That's something we could change quite easily.
So the light coming off of computer screens, television screens, that's probably not the best.
No, not at all. Not at all. In what they should teach engineers who are going to be developing consumer products, these engineers really never study biology. It's like two different worlds. If engineers would have studied and will study biology, they could actually design this equipment to be healthy for you.
That would be a great idea. Wow, you could use your dream spa therapy in an LCD computer screen and be healed and watch and look at your... Is that possible?
Well, no. We've tried experiments like that, and that is not a good way to do it because the kind of light that would have to come off a computer screen is not the wavelengths. You can't look at a red screen all day.
I see.
So it isn't that way. But that's why we invent these devices where you can take a little time out each day to regenerate yourself and recharge yourself. It's actually more important than exercising.
So, okay, going back to your inventions and these specific frequencies, so you've, through your research, then found that these four frequencies in particular, the body, the cells take into it, and they start to regenerate or even become younger because of these particular light frequencies. Did you actually observe this fact?
Oh, many, many tests. Many clinicals and tremendous amount of information is known about this now in the field. But what the light of these wavelengths do is these are the most absorbable. Your body doesn't absorb every type of light. There's a lot of light that isn't absorbed by the body, hardly at any useful at all. And so these are the wavelengths that actually we've evolved with that your body absorbs very well. Your cells actually recognize this energy and use it. It's like they recognize it as useful food, so to speak, for your body. And so your cells love to suck up this energy, and that is converted to ATP, along with other things. Like one of the effects of red light is collagen production, which is great for anti-aging if you're worried about wrinkles. It works very well.
But there must be, if your cells are so readily connected with this rejuvenating light, there must be a natural source for there. There must be something in nature that the cells are already responding to. So, I mean, instead of these devices,
That's not the case. It just isn't the case.
It's not.
And
okay.
No, it's never been the case. It's like purified water compared to salt water. And by the way, you can't get anything more pure or more natural than photons. It is nature's most, photons are nature's most predominant element in the entire universe. You know, for every photon, there's a billion photons for every other element in the every other kind of atom in the universe. It is the predominant energy and life energy of the universe. And to be able to take all the electromagnetic spectrum, say that the sun gives off and stars give off, and to discover what pure frequencies within that are actually very good for you is just a marvelous advancement that humans are here to improve things, not just do things the old way, rude and crude energy. There's so many, we have so many finer things now than our ancestors ever had. And we've done many, many tests over the years with shamans and healers and people. And we ask them, non-biased studies. We ask them to generate their energy, and we can test blood, saliva, and urine on their clients, and we can compare. All this is very easy to do these days. And so you can actually test how good a healer is. You can test how good the lights are. And so I love this. It's just a great time to be in research because we live at a time in which now you can test any subtle energy. I mean, we have photon counters that can count. We actually count the photons going into your body and calculate it.
Well, let me ask you about that in one second. I just want to go back to that idea that the cells are absorbing these light frequencies that must exist somewhere, at least in partial sunlight, they must exist, right?
Sunlight, and of course, all the only part of light that we see are the what's called the rainbow spectrum.
Right.
But light is a million times bigger than that. There's all kinds of light, gamma rays, X-rays. That's all light, and so these wavelengths are available in sunlight, but they're mixed up with all the other wavelengths.
There is some of this beneficial wavelengths in nature somewhere. I'm just asking, right? I mean, they exist in sunlight along with all the other stuff, but they are there.
Yeah, but not as useful as what we've been able to do with them in modern science.
To refine.
Much more effective, much more controllable, much more refined, because sunlight is really raw, rude, and crude energy. Like I said, most of sunlight, it would hurt you.
Right. Okay, I understand that. Now, getting back to this other idea, it's a little bit off the topic, but, I mean, you're saying there's a photon counter, so you're saying, and that's that old argument, is light a wave or a particle? How do you describe it? I mean, how do you understand it?
Well, when I first, 30 years ago, that was a question, but that has been solved by Stanford University Mayo Clinic. That question was solved 20 years ago when the definitive experiments were done on it. They used to argue, is light a wave or is it a particle? But we now know in modern science that light is particles that travel in waves. A photon is a particle that travels in waves.
Is that it?
Water. Water is a bunch of atoms that travel in waves.
Oh, so it is a bunch of particles, you're saying?
It's particles that travel in waves, and this is so this is so cool that we understand this now, and this is part of the field of tissue optics, because in many ways light is like water and moves like water and bounces like water and goes around things like water. So it's good that, you know, I came along at a time in which this question was definitively answered.
So I just want to understand the mechanics of the photons in a way. So they're the photons, but and I guess it's like water, but there's photons that combine together to form different frequencies of light. I mean, they're still photons, but what makes a photon a different frequency of light?
It's called the wavelength. The wavelength determines the color that you see. It's all light, but if you put it in a prism, if you put white light in a prism, you can break it down into some visible colors like the rainbow. That's all in white light, and you've got all these wavelengths in white light. And in the prism, you can actually visualize the different wavelengths. So. The wavelength of red, which is in the 630 range nanometers, looks red to your eye.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I get it. So all these photons are traveling in waves to us. It's the length of the waves themselves that affect the light we see or don't see, or it's absorbed by the body.
Exactly. The most powerful light in the universe is very tiny waves, and then you have longer and longer wavelengths of light if you look on the electromagnetic spectrum. But each wavelength represents, let's just say, a color, but we don't see most colors. Our human eyes, from our evolution for hunting and gathering and surviving, are really tuned to the seven colors that we see with our naked eyes.
But
there are birds that can see better than us, and there are animals that can see in the dark. They see other wavelengths.
We just see the wavelengths between infrared and ultraviolet, that very narrow spectrum of what we call visible light is all we see.
Mm-hmm. And so one of the main wavelengths that's beneficial to human beings is the near-infrared, which is not visible to the human eye at all. But you can image it through different types of imaging systems. You can see it because your eye can't see it doesn't mean that it can't be imaged or can't be seen. Like one of those night vision scopes.
Right.
Yeah.
So we have the science now then to take photons and create wavelengths that are beneficial. I mean, you've said that, but I'm just understanding it now. So we know how to manipulate the wavelength of light.
Absolutely. It's at a very high state now, and it's kind of like music. You know, you can have a whole orchestra, and the violin makes a certain sound, and then the trumpets make a different sound, but they're all a part of the orchestra. So these wavelengths are all a part of the light spectrum. It's just that if you want to get just the violin, you can now. You can get just the violin if you want it, or just the horns, so to speak.
Right, but if these wavelengths that you've discovered or found that are really healing, why can't we be in those wavelengths all the time? Make display cabinets and wall units and lights. I mean, isn't that the ultimate?
Say that again. I didn't quite understand your question.
Can't we constantly be bathed in these beneficial lights that these four frequencies can't, I mean, you have a machine that you sit in for a half hour, but why couldn't we be in, or am I being greedy? Why can't we be in it all the time, those wavelengths, those frequencies?
Well, if you did it outdoors with all the other light, it would be, you have to do these in a setting in which you're getting just the pure light. That's why we created the device the way we did. If you do it outdoors, then all the other light is like static on a radio, so it's going to interfere with the light that you're receiving.
I'm saying, couldn't you make light bulbs out of this? Couldn't you make wall units so they're at night anyway, that's all the light that's on. So we're
You wouldn't be able to go to sleep. You don't need see you in this type of phototherapy. You only need a dose. It's like charging a battery. Your body only needs a certain amount of energy. It can't use any more energy. So it's not like industrial stuff. More is not better. There's a perfect dosage and there's a perfect charge for your cells.
Okay.
And that's all your body needs. And you can do that in a half-hour day. And actually, one light session with our device will recharge your batteries for several days at a time.
One light session for a half-hour.
Yeah, will recharge your battery for several days. But the best use of it is to use it a little bit every day so that you start regenerating more than you're degenerating, which is what we call true anti-aging.
But these machines, these particular dream spas, you just put your head in there, and what about the rest of the body?
Well, that was the innovations we discovered along the way, is that the human body is held together by connective tissue, and that's how all your organs and everything are held together by connective tissue. And it was discovered many years ago that the connective tissue is like it's like fiber optic cables. And so in the early years, I was inventing devices that would do the whole body, and as we were able to do more and more research and get funding for research, we kept refining and refining the science until one day we figured out how to do the entire body directly from your face through the connective tissue of your body. So it's like in your jaw, you've got all the acupuncture meridians, your face has the most capillaries, and your face... And, you know, I do this in live demos, which I'll be doing in New York when I come in a couple of weeks. We can put meters on your feet, and we'll have the light only on your face, and you'll see your feet are being fed the electron energy.
What kind of meters would measure that?
We have a number of electromagnetic devices that measure this energy quite easily. It's off-the-shelf stuff, nothing tricky.
I see. So that's an amazing discovery. You're saying... just by getting this light on your face, it circulates throughout the whole body. It just filters through every cell in the body just by getting it that way.
Yeah, exactly. And that was my innovation. That was what I started on and was guided to look into, some 25 years ago. And it has turned out to be incredibly accurate and incredibly useful and powerful.
So these dream spas, they are available, and they you've done tested, and everyone, there's no one who's immune to it. Everyone needs this light, and they are regenerated by being in this light. Has anyone had adverse reactions?
No, there are some people that are allergic to light, though. It's a medical condition.
Really?
But if you were allergic to light, you would know it. You couldn't go outdoors. But there are actually people that are allergic to light. Isn't that funny? I mean, it's an amazing thing to think about, allergic to light, you know. But people that would be using photosensitive drugs. There are certain conditions where this type of light is not useful, but that's only in very specific circumstances. Otherwise, we're really just a battery charger for your body, and we're putting pure energy into your body, which your energy recognizes and is looking for. Because the funny thing is, there's always been a missing link. You know, you can have the best food, you can have the best exercise, you can have the best vitamins, and you can have the best doctor in the world, but it's never been enough. There's always been something missing. And we believe this is the missing link to that equation, and it works because the food you eat and the quality of it determines the energy you get out of it. And if you're eating a lot of processed food and the type of food people normally eat, your body spends more time more energy digesting it than it actually gets from the food. It's interesting that way.
I know this is going to sound like an infomercial, but you're saying everyone can benefit and be rejuvenated by using these machines. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, it's the most useful technology I've ever found for people. Even if you don't exercise, even if you're a couch potato, you can still be infinitely healthier. But if you're a performer or you're an athlete, you're always wasting more energy than you're pulling in. So this is a missing link for athletes and performers also. For people that are constantly in some kind of physical activity, this is a good technology to replace the energy you're expending constantly. Like, you know, professional football players, performers, they're always expending energy and never quite recovering the energy. Now you can recover the energy quite quickly. That you can't get this from food, because your body spends a lot of its energy digesting the food, and then it finds out it can't use most of it that you're eating.
So that just clarified. So I just thought it was for skin regeneration, but you're saying this device is much, much more than that.
Oh, yes. This is for lifestyle maintenance. You know, life is really about maintenance. There's nothing that will fix you up in one shot forever, because life is dynamic. This is a life. If you want to regenerate more than you degenerate, then you're going to have to keep your body charged. And this is what modern science and work that I have done that has discovered, is that it's really about the electron charge of your body that is the core center of your health and consciousness.
So, okay, I didn't realize that. So this has, would you say people would be healed from certain, I mean, you can't make healing claims perhaps, but would they be healed or cured?
Well, the use of phototherapy is fantastic for wound healing, post-surgical. It's being used now. Different types of light are now being used in various forms of medical procedures, and it's almost like Star Trek. Remember that light they'd shine on people and heal them?
Yeah.
On Star Trek. It's very similar to that. Very good for wound healing, but I don't think there's any cancer cure right now. That's a whole other situation, but it is a great immune system builder. It's not going to, light itself will not mend a broken bone. Your body has to do that, but it will super boost your immune system so that you can do that the best you can. So it's not magic.
So this is a overall immune system booster.
Well, not only that, it's an ATP booster, which is the most important thing in your body. Did you know that if your ATP function stopped, your electron flow stopped, you'd be dead in 5 minutes? Your cells would run out of energy in 5 minutes, and none of your cells would work.
Okay, we're almost out of time. I just want to know your experiences. How often do you use it, and what's the difference you're feeling?
I use my system daily, sometimes a couple times a day, because we've got five programs, and if you're feeling tired, we've got an energy program. If you're feeling too wired, we have a blue light program that calms you down. If you're anxious or depressed, we can calm you down and get you centered again. We have a hair program, because phototherapy has been shown to be very good for hair. Especially in women who can grow hair back. You know, for men, it can stop hair fall out immediately and give you a healthy scalp. So there are a good number. There's about seven different uses our system is good for that they can look at on our website.
So there's seven different types of frequencies that are coming through the machine?
Well, seven programs, because we take those four basic lights and we mix them in a way that I've discovered in. That's one of the innovations I've come out in the field, is how to mix these wavelengths for an enhanced effect.
How much does the machine sell for again?
It sells for around $15.99, and there's usually radio specials or when we do presentations, there's specials, so they should always check to see if there's a special going.
All right, great, because you'll be in New York, and maybe you'll give people a special deal there, right?
Yeah, and we'll have some devices there where people can try them themselves and experience it. And we'll have our little test equipment there so we can show you it's working and give you some good feedback on that level.
Yeah, on March 31st, Mellon will be at the Alignment Center, which is 120 West 28th Street, doing demos in probably afternoon sometime, 3, 4, probably between 4 and 7. 3 and 7, you'll probably be there. That's 120 West 28th Street in Manhattan at the Alignment Center on March 28th and 7th. You'll be giving a presentation for the Friends of the Institute of Noetic Science at the Meta Center. That's on newrealities.com, that information. And then on the 28th, you're going to be on a panel talking with other people about living in the light and divine connections. And then the 30th you're off, and the 31st you're doing the lecture again. So and that's on your website as well. What's your website one more time?
Mellon, that's M-E-L-L-E-N dash Thomas, mellonthomas.com.
Well, this has been very amazing. I didn't really get what you were because it was just a brief demo I saw last time. I didn't understand the full effect of the power of these devices. So,
it'll be fun when I come to New York, because I'll be giving a Living at the Speed of Light multimedia presentation where I really this is show and tell on what quantum biology is, what photons are. And did you know that science is so advanced now that we can actually photograph atoms? And I'll show you pictures of atoms.
I didn't think they could. Wow.
No, it's amazing. They've been able to photograph atoms since 1995.
But this is not the end of your, this might be an early phase in your inventing development, and there might be something else come along that would be even more amazing. Huh?
Well, I think it's going to continue developing. This is a new field, and we learn things every year. We learn something more and another application. So, yeah, I look forward to a lifetime of research and product development.
Well, thank you so much for your dedication, and these new technological discoveries about light are so important for our evolution. Somehow it seems like it's all part of this scenario to raise our frequencies and awareness to new realities, basically.
Well, Alan, you're right. I try to tell people that there is a spiritual nature to all this, and that is that the higher consciousness people want to reach now is going to require a higher energy to get there. It's like our world right now is operating on fossil fuels. We can't go much further into the future with fossil fuels. It's the same thing with your spiritual energy. We have to go to a higher source of energy now, and that is being able to download the light directly. And technology is only one manifestation of what spirit can do.
That's great, Mellon. Thank you. We have to wrap up, but I want to continue the conversation at some point just on that last little bit about the connection to the spirit and the evolution of spirit with the higher frequencies.
Well, great. I look forward to it, and it's always fun to be on the air with you.
Thanks, and I'll see you in New York. I'll talk to you before that.
Okay.
Mellon Thomas-Benedict. To New York at the end of March. You can check that out on newrealities.com. If you have any questions about anything you heard, you can email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and thanks for listening. This is In the Fund. I walk in fire.